Welcome back to the Spiritually Armored Podcast. I'm Devin Singleton, and I'm with Jeremiah Settle.
Hey, how's it going?
And we've got another episode for you today. Jeremiah's going to lead this discussion on, and he's got it titled, In the Workplace.
Yeah, it's all about how we can represent Christ in our own workplace. And it's all this all sparked up because of one of the classes that I'm taking online. And we started talking about Jesus in his own personal life. And one of the things that we see about Jesus is that he worked with his hands. And we don't know much about Jesus in his early childhood, but we do see that he was given God-fearing parents, and we know that he worked with Joseph. So one of the things I do want to see that we see about his childhood is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. So Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And Devin, this is what it says. It said, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So not only in the things that were spiritual, but also things that were physical on this earth that he grew in. And I think that's something that we need to take note of. Mm-hmm. But let's also go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And notice, this is what the people say about Jesus. And this is verses 1 through 3. It says, "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which was given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?'" Okay, so they're already astonished right here by the things that he's been able to do. And so they're asking, how did he get this ability? Because in verse 3, here's why. It says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and are not his sister here with us?" So they were offended at him. So they're like, this is just a carpenter's son. Jesus has a reputation of being the carpenter's son, working with his hands, being of that skill, being of that trade. I also want us to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. All right, what do you got there?
Matthew 13, verse 55. "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?"
Okay, so very similar to what we have here in Matthew. We see that Jesus is the carpenter's son, which tells us that he probably worked alongside the family trade. He worked with his hands. Devin, what do you think? Do you think Jesus was a good carpenter?
I'm sure he was.
I think he was too. And because we think about when it came to doing the Lord's will, Jesus did to the best of his ability. Mm-hmm. Would we not think that Jesus did everything else to the best of his ability to give glory to God?
Yeah, and there's a scripture, I think it's in one of the Thessalonian letters, and you're doing a deep dive study on this right now. But the scripture says, "Everything you do, do it heartily as if you were doing it to the Lord." I can't remember where it is. But it's in the New Testament.
Well, I do know this. You have Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him."
There you go. So my thought is, you know, this is a commandment that we have indirectly from Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Paul wrote this down. It's from... He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, who was sent by Jesus. If Jesus is commanding this, I would bet my money. I would bet everything I have that Jesus was obeying this as well.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, Paul, who wrote this, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say this. And we're supposed to emulate Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that means also we're supposed to emulate him in the workplace as well.
Right.
Not just the ministry, but also in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking about, we were created in the image of God, which means we're the image bearers of God.
Absolutely.
And what was one of the, what's one of the first things that God gave Adam in the garden? It was a job.
Yes.
It was a job. So that kind of goes into what we're going to be talking about. This episode is relating our job to a life of our life of Christ being represented in our job, in our workplace. So I'm doing a study right now in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but let's go there. Let's go to 1st Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, in chapter 4, Paul is starting off talking about how we should be holy, how we should abstain from sexual sins. And then he goes on and transitions a little bit to something else that we need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he says in verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing." Devin, do we let God shine in everything that we do?
If we're honest, I'd say no.
I would say no too. Should we be doing that though?
Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, you work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate enough to be paid in a sense where I can serve in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that I had another job.
Right.
And I worked in construction, mainly shipbuilding. I did some sheet metal work. I did some fabrication stuff. I even did some maintenance work.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin, what do you do?
I'm an engineer, so I do a lot of model building on the computer, and I decipher results when we get that stuff from our simulations.
Okay. So I know technically we've had different careers,
mm-hmm.
But what would you say the two biggest problems in any workplace is?
Man, that's a tough one. Probably lack of godliness is one.
Mm-hmm.
And two would be discontentment.
Okay. I mean, those are great. But focusing on what we're talking about right here, mm-hmm. and what Paul has just said, I want to give two more examples. And I think those are good, but here's two more. One is workplace gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is workplace grumbling.
Mm.
Now, let's talk about gossip. You know, gossip is that idle talk or that rumor speech, especially about the personal or private affairs of others.
Right.
And tell me this, what kind of gossip have you heard in the workplace before?
Well, I've heard complaints about another coworker not knowing what to do or what that coworker does in his personal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things of that nature. For sure.
And usually when we start getting into the gossip of other people, sometimes it gets so deep that it can be detrimental to that other person's job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've heard about too, like, you know, this person slept with that person.
Oh,
or, yeah. You know, this person cheated on this, or this person was given this position because of, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, think about the dangers of gossip. You know, gossip is dangerous because it divides people. And that's what we don't want. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. It's going to talk a little bit about gossip here. Proverbs 16, verse 28.
I'm getting there.
And it says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. How many people have you seen hurt or divided or separated in the workplace all because of a smaller rumor?
Mm-hmm. It happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And sadly, it happens even in the church. And that's where it should not be.
Yeah. I want to kind of on this same point go to 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Yeah.
One of my classes is the preacher epistles. And those letters are 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. And we just finished the book of 1st Timothy. So all the way at the end of the book, and I also want to keep in mind, in context, what this book what this letter is about. Paul is writing to Timothy, charging him as a preacher how to conduct himself in the church. But we can also apply these more broadly to every member of the church. In verse 20 of chapter 6, 1 Timothy, it says, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, which is the gospel, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge." So I want to focus really on that idle babblings. The way my instructor described that to the class was that, have you ever just talked about the weather? There was no real point to it. You were just talking about it. You were just complaining about the weather. That's what an idle babbling is. The King James says vain babbling. Mm. I think you can also include gossip and grumbling into that as well. It doesn't get you anything, not anything good anyway. It always ends bad.
Yeah. And we're going to have a great example of that coming up soon, because I think that falls great under the grumbling, for sure. I want to pull up one more thing for gossip, though, another verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. And we have a word here called whisperers. Those who are whisperers. If you're there, go ahead and read it for us.
Okay. I'm going to start on verse 28.
Okay.
"And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers." And it continues on a bunch of different...
No, go ahead. Keep on going. There's a reason why.
Okay. I thought you just wanted verse 29.
I did, but keep on reading. There's a reason why.
"They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of them who practice them."
Okay, so when we look at this list, Evan, from our human eyes, when we look at these, we have a tendency to pick out the ones that we think are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, yeah, this is bad. This is deserving of death.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like no wonder God would destroy these people for doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things in here that when we stop to think about it, we're like, hold on. God is putting this in the same category as that.
Yeah.
And whisperers is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's other ones in here, too, that we look at, like disobedient to parents. Like, those are little things that we don't think about. So, but instead of us trying to say, hey, this is what we think is right, and this is what we think is wrong, no, we need to be looking at the perspective of what God is saying is right and wrong.
Yeah. Even proud.
Being proud.
I think proud to us from our human minds is probably the... It's like, why is this here?
Mm-hmm.
With, I don't know, haters of God or inventors of evil things. I agree with you. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and but so easily we can try to see things right in our own mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we talked about gossip a little bit. Now let's go to grumbling. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a good example. And I just want to kind of define what grumbling is. Grumbling is to murmur or to mutter in discontent. It's to complain for no reason. Mm-hmm. But what kind of grumbling do you hear in the workplace?
Oh, I've got this assignment I got to get done by tomorrow morning. Stuff like that. You know, you're there to work. Why are you complaining about having to do the work?
Right.
And I've been guilty of that. You know, I think we all have.
Or what about like a certain boss? It's like, this person shouldn't be in the role of authority. When things would be done a lot quicker if he wasn't or she wasn't in that position.
Yep.
Or, you know what? I don't want to be around these people. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Why is it that I have to do all the work and they don't do that?
Yeah.
There's plenty of things we can murmur about.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to go to Deuteronomy, though.
Okay.
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27. So, God brings up an example of murmuring. And he's going to show what this got the people of the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
the Hebrew people. All right. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27 says, let's go to verse 26.
Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim here.
All right, so they're talking about that story about the spies going out.
Mm-hmm.
And when the spies came back, they told about the great things of the land, right?
Yeah.
But then they started giving the reports. Only two of them gave a good report. So they're like, come on, let's go. Let's go do this. It was Joshua and Caleb.
Yep.
All the rest of them, though, they were like, nah, we can't do that because of the giants of the land. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can't do it. And then they started to complain.
Mm.
What happened as a result of their complaining?
Well, they didn't get to go into the promised land.
Exactly. Exactly. So the thing is, God doesn't want us to be grumblers.
Yeah.
God wants us to get to work and to do the work. He will take care of everything else. Mm-hmm. He has promised all that. He promised all that for them. All they had to do was put their trust in him. And that's biblical faith. Biblical faith includes trust.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I want to get at here, and I mean, this is a shorter episode, is talking about when we're in the workplace, gossip and grumbling should not be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because people in our workplace, they shouldn't be seeing us. They should be seeing Christ.
Yeah.
And there is great respect for a man or woman who goes to work and they work hard.
Mm-hmm.
They don't focus on the affairs and the things of the workplace, but instead they're working on trying to improve themselves for God and trying to make sure they get a paycheck for their family, taking care of their family, which is also a responsibility that God has, you know, asked of us.
Mm-hmm.
But a busybody, though, and then this is a word you see a lot in Scripture, a busybody,
yeah,
is someone who doesn't give honor to their family or their God.
Mm.
It is someone who's caught up in the affairs of other things in this life. And that's who we don't want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about busybodies just for a little bit, who we don't want to be.
Okay.
And now Paul himself, he gave himself as an example to the church at Thessalonica, how one is supposed to labor and to give themselves up for the sake of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I didn't take anything from you. I want us to go to 2 Thessalonians real quick. 2 Thessalonians And we're going to go to chapter 3. Because we already read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he was telling them, hey, you're supposed to be people just to mind your own business. Don't get caught up in the affairs of other things. Of course, I'm paraphrasing this.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the second letter, there's a transition. He's told them what to do and not to do. And now we have brethren who are being disobedient. They're walking disorderly, as he says. So this is what mm-hmm. it says. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Said, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. I bring this verse up, and I want us to focus on the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Devin, how often have you seen someone say, or they try to represent themselves as a hard worker, and they're moving around, but there's no work getting done? They're going from cubicle to cubicle, or from workplace to workplace, and they're just talking up the storm.
Mm-hmm.
They're just getting the intel. They're just talking about the hot topic, but they're never doing any work.
Yeah, I've seen that often.
Yeah, me too. And it's frustrating, right?
Yeah.
It's frustrating. So when they slack off, who has to do the work then?
All the other employees.
Right. So we are not to be that person, that busybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an example of those that are in the church. They were being busybodies over the over things that were going on, but mm-hmm. they weren't working. They weren't doing anything. So they were pretty much mooching and relying off other people while the other Christians were doing the work.
Yeah, verse 10, actually. I like verse 10. It says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Paul addresses that, and it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. And just reading the rest of it, just for the sake that we can. It says, verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. So what we shouldn't be. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So pretty much he tells them the same thing that he told them way back in the first letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They need to work, they need to be quiet, and they need to stick to it. Don't worry about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. It says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer. And I'm going to pause right there. Would we agree with that?
Yes.
I think most of the religious world would agree with that. But then let's finish the verse, because it's not done. Let's start over. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Devin, when there's work to be done, we need to be doing the work.
Yep.
We don't need to care about what other people are doing. We need to do our part. That's what Jesus is asking from us.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are listening on this podcast, here's all I have to say. If you are in a toxic work environment, continue to keep your nose in your work and pray that God would help you in your work environment. It's not hard. It doesn't matter if you're white collar or blue collar. There are gossipers, there are grumblers, there are busybodies in your workplace. The thing that you need to make sure that you are not doing is being one of those. You need to represent God in your workplace. All right, Devin, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Nothing other than the usual closing. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or we got something wrong, feel free to email us at armoredspiritually@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on our YouTube video. And please like this, comment, share, do what you got to do, and
spread the gospel.
Yeah, there you go. Spread the gospel. Catch you next time.